Good morning.
Whoa, I don't even think I got one back. Good morning.
Good morning.
I get it. It's February. Hey, we've got some visitors here today, though. Should have started with that. Welcome to Hope. If you are visiting, we are thrilled that you're here today and the sun's out. So maybe you brought it. So come on back because we love that sunshine in February. But we do welcome you. My name is Kate. I'm one of the chaplains here. I work in Campus Ministries, and I would love it if you came to be a part of this community because it means I would get a chance and we would get a chance to know you. Hey, here's something about college that you should know. February can be a tough month. Oh, yeah. It's a tough month because we're back from break. We're even back from our like kind of midway break. Spring break seems really far away. Usually the weather's gloomy, and we just need a little encouragement. So I got some encouragement for you this morning. Not my words, but wise words perhaps of somebody else. Here's the encouragement. So I want you to think about, if anybody asks you in these days of February, if anybody asks you who you are, just stand up, look them in the face, and say, I'm that star up in the sky. I'm that mountain peak up high. I'm the world's greatest. All right, I'm the world's greatest. R. Kelly, man. Here's the thing, I hate to break it to you. I love you deeply, but you are not the world's greatest. You're not. You're not, and there's lots of messages out there that are trying to tell you that you are the world's greatest. And you're pretty great, I know a lot of you, but you're not the world's greatest. And there's lots of messages out there that are telling us messages, what we like to say, normative cultural scripts, that's what Trigg talked about last night, that tell us what greatness is, what power is. Hey, I'm the greatest. Nope, you're not. Last night, we heard a story of Jesus talking to a rich man in the Gospel of Mark. For those of you who are visiting, or maybe it's your first time here today, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And this semester, we're looking at what does it look like to follow Jesus on the way. Jesus has a pretty hard conversation with this rich man. He tells him that what he needs to do is sell everything and give all of that to the poor. That's a hard message. And this morning, we're going to look at what happens after that, where again, we maybe are given a hard message or a message that's hard for us to understand. And as we listen to the Word of God this morning, I want you to keep in mind these two questions. Pay attention to this. And the two questions are, where do James and John ask to sit? And why do they want to sit there? Where do they ask to sit? And why do they want to sit there? The word of the Lord comes this morning from Mark chapter 10. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it is page 823. So listen to this, keeping in mind, where do they want to sit? Why do they want to sit there? So this is a group of people, including Jesus and his disciples and some followers. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside, and he began to tell them what was about to happen. He said this, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they're going to condemn him to death. Then they'll hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit upon him. They will flog him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Now, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said, oops, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, they did say this. Yeah. Just checking to see if you're with me. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said to them, what is it that you want me to do? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which with I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and to my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now, when the 10, the other of the disciples, heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the third time we've seen in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus has told his disciples clearly what was going to happen to him, that he was going to die. And this time he even got clearer, talking about the spitting and the flogging. And we think the disciples are maybe starting to get it because they actually don't come back at him this time with a, whoa, 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 that's not how it's going to go. No, but what happens? Instead, James and John are starting to pick up on, okay, Jesus is going to be coming into power. So where do they want to sit? At his right hand and his left. Why do they want to sit there? Because they're beginning to understand that Jesus is doing something new. He's going to come into power. And their idea of power is of a ruler who rules from a throne. And so they want to be as close to the power as possible. They want to be second and third in command. That is why they want to sit there. They think that power is what they are able to see. And what they don't realize is that Jesus' power and Jesus' glory comes on a cross. And as we continue on this journey towards the cross, eventually we'll see who is on his left and his right as he is in glory. The disciples don't quite get it. And my question for us this morning is, do we? Because it's easy for us to look back and be like, well, James and John, silly guys. You don't get what he's talking about. He's not talking about a real palace and a real throne. We know that Jesus is enthroned over all of creation. And it's not about the powers of this world. But Jesus goes on to tell the disciples, and I think Jesus is going on to tell us today, that power is not in weakness, and true greatness comes when we are enslaved to all. So my question for us this morning is, are we aware of the cultural norms that allure us? Are we aware of the scripts that pull us into thinking that we are the greatest? Are we aware of how we've got things still flipped around upside down at times? Where do you want to sit? And why do you want to sit there? Now, some of you might be thinking, yep, but you know what? I got it. I get it. This has been ingrained in me. I am to be a servant. And so you know what? I'm going to be the best servant that there is. I'm going to outserve you. And the only way I can know that I'm outserving you is if I can somehow compare myself. So I'll just check around and see what you're doing, and I'll just go one up, you know, because I want to serve. And what happens is it becomes a competition. And again, it becomes about me and what I'm doing. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the one who truly is the greatest. Where do you want to sit and why do you want to sit there is not a one-time question. You don't answer that question once and never have to think about it again. But it is a question that we need to ask ourselves every single day. Because every single day, things are pushing and pulling for our attention. I think another thing that this passage does for us is it helps us understand and see clearly a dichotomy that Christians often try to hold, or often not just try, they just do it by natural. We think that sometimes we can either see Jesus' death as being simply about forgiveness or simply about disrupting systems of power. It's an either or for us, and we're tempted to privilege one over the other. But what we see in this passage is that it is not an either or, but it is a both and. Some of you maybe have heard this verse over and over again, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we think of that in terms of forgiveness. But we see that Jesus says this in a story, in a context that's about greatness and about power. Is the cross about forgiveness? Yes, it definitely is. Is the cross about disrupting systems that oppress? Yes, it definitely is. It is a both and. And so as we ask ourselves these questions about cultural norms and where we want to sit and why we want to sit there, we need to hold these things in tension. And that's not easy to do. But there are practices in our Christian walk in seasons that help us for times where we are more reflective. We are in one of them now, Lent, where we are journeying to the cross. So I want to offer some thoughts, just a couple quick thoughts on how we can live into this both and in the season of Lent, and encourage you to use your imagination and what this might look like for you. If you gave up chocolate for Lent, maybe this time is about you learning how food addictions can comfort you and where you turn for your comfort. But could it also be a time where you learn about the chocolate that you'll probably start consuming again in 33 days, roughly thereabout, where you learn about how that chocolate enslaves others and how your purchase actually participates in a system that's oppressive? Maybe this season is a season where you give up Facebook and you learn about the time you waste and how easily we are distracted. But could it also be a season where you think about how social media is a marketing scheme in a lot of respects, and the product is you? And then you are the one being sold to advertising companies based on what you like and what you comment on and what you pin and what you tweet. Maybe Lent is a time where you read more scripture and you draw closer to the Word of God. Could it be a time where you do that not simply to bring yourself comfort and make you feel good about yourself, but could it be that you read scriptures on the theme of money? Or on the theme of what it means for God to care for all of God's creation, or what it means for us to look into our deep history of welcoming the stranger and being the stranger. You see, all of these disciplines that help us in our walk are meant not just to help me, not just to meant to help you, but it's meant to help us and to shape us into being God's people. And it can be overwhelming, and it can get overwhelming quickly. And that's where you just simply need to go back and remember that you are not the greatest, but that's okay, because Jesus is the greatest. And Jesus is calling all of us to live into that and follow along the way. And you don't do it alone. You're in good company. You're going with people who've asked silly questions before. And you're going with people who are asking good questions now. And so the question that we are left with today is, where do we want to sit? And why do we want to sit there? Go in the grace and peace of God.